And we are back once again for yet another round of the Parish of the Patriots, episode number 386, if you can believe that or not. As usual, we're going to be shotgunning a lot of different topics, and hopefully out of all of those, you'll find something interesting, informative, entertaining, whatever. Of course, we'll get into Christian related topics along the way, maybe mixed in, maybe a big bulk. I don't even know. I don't even know what I'm going to be discussing. So that's part of the fun. We see where things go. We do have an entry in the listener supporter mailbag for this week. Yeah, just a reminder, if you didn't catch last week's show, around the first week of September, I plan to remove the P.O. box off the description page. So I want to take advantage of that. If you've ever wanted to drop something in, it is appreciated. I am going to keep the P.O. box for a while, well into next year. So, and like I say, you don't have to worry about things getting lost or whatever. So, just a reminder. So when that disappears, you'll know what's up. You'll remember what's up. Like I said, I got into that on last week's show. You know, you got to see the handwriting on the wall and things are getting, are not going in a good direction. But let's go ahead. We'll get into a little more of that as we go here. Let's go ahead and get this, get into this listener supporter mailbag. Cheers, Dan. Just a token of my appreciation. You've kept me going through many a black-pilled moment back in the day and still do. May God bless you and your family, brother. Regards. And that is from Red Pilled in Vienna. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. And yeah, does anybody think things are going to be getting better? I saw a story the other day and y'all may have seen it too. It's just the direction, you know, the general direction that we're seeing things going. I saw a story the other day. It was quite something. A guy flew back into the country and he flew into Atlanta and, had to go through customs because he was coming in from out of the country. And, you know, you kind of have your normal expectation for going through customs. You know, they ask you what you're bringing and whatnot. This guy gets drug into a room. Well, it turns out this guy had been protesting at some police center or something being built, you know, being proposed to be built. And so he gets drug in, you know, like this has anything to do with just a standard coming into the country. He's a U.S. citizen, mind you. And he gets drug into a interrogation room and he gets told that he needs to give his phone over to the cops. You know, to these border control agents or whatever that you call them, Homeland Security guys. And their excuse is, you're not technically, even though he's in the United States, and he's a U.S. citizen, they say technically he's not in the U.S. until they say so. This is the Semitic games, Semitic, you decide. Talmudic games they play. You're here, but you're not here until we say you're here. Anyway, so they get his phone from him. Well, it's got a password on it, of course. Well, he gives them a password. Well, when he gives them the password, it wipes the phone off. Well, now they're outraged. They send him on his way. They're outraged, but now they've come back around and charged him with some government statute about destroying evidence. They had no evidence. They had no probable cause. So, of course, in their public statements, they said, well, what do you expect they would say? Get three guesses and the first two don't go. Oh, we thought we needed to check his phone because we thought he might have child porn on it. You know, that is their go-to answer. You know, because people will hear that. They know people will hear that and go, oh my gosh, he's a disgusting pedophile. They don't ever tell you the part that they have no reason to believe that. They hadn't tracked this guy down or anything as a part of a child porn network. They just throw that out there. They had no idea what was on his phone. They were hoping to find something on his phone because mostly they were pissed because he had been protesting this cop center or whatever they were planning to build. And this guy was, you know, part of the protesters not wanting that in there. Now, this is the thing. People look at this and say, well, they shrug it off and say, well, there's not going to really be a case here. I mean, you know, this guy's probably got a pretty good chance of winning the case. That's irrelevant. It comes back to the whole, the process is the punishment. You know, a cop can pull you over and he decides for whatever reason, you know, maybe you remind him of the guy that stole his first love back in high school. It doesn't matter. He can jack you up, throw you in jail on some bullshit charges. And even if the charges are dismissed later, you still had to go to jail. You still got hassled, still spent a bunch of money on a lawyer to get the charges dismissed. Not like, oh, the charges are dismissed and you magically won. No, the whole process, you're out the money for a lawyer, you're out all of this headache. And what does a cop get out of it? Nothing. He just walks scot-free. There's no punishment for him. There's no discipline for dragging someone in on bullshit charges and taking up, wasting everybody's time. The process is the punishment. So the cop can just unilaterally hassle you, punish you for whatever reason or no reason at all. And it's going to get worse. I mean, it's one thing for some asshole local cop that just for whatever reason doesn't like you to give you a hard time. But in the case we, you know, I just mentioned here with the guy on his phone, this isn't local cops. These are the feds. They have like unlimited budget works to mess with you. You know, of course it's all trumped up BS. Everybody knows it is, and it doesn't even matter. The process is the punishment. You know, they just find something, you know. I sit there wondering when I saw the story, and I sit there and I wonder, okay, what if the guy wouldn't have, you know, because everybody carries their phone around like they can't imagine their lives without it. You know, back in the 1980s, people traveled international too, but they weren't carrying a phone around. And I thought, what if the guy just wouldn't have had his phone with him? What would they have had to do then? Now, granted, they can make up whatever they want to hassle you over, but it would have been harder. They went for the phone because that's their go-to thing. It's the easy thing. Easy. In a way, the guy carrying his phone made it easy for them. That's what I'm saying. As we criticize things such as this obvious war for Israel and Iran and the lies as far as the Ukrainian war, you know, oh, Ukraine's totally winning and all of that. The more you speak truth to lies, and that's what we try to do. I'm not just talking about me. You know, there's a lot of people that are, and on that front, I think I can speak for everybody here at Radio Albion. You know, we try our best to speak the truth to these lies, but the more you do so, I mean, you know, you do put a target on you. And that's, again, this is why around the 1st of September, I'm taking the P.O. Box down. Not that there's anything nefarious going on with the P.O. Box, but you just, like our guy with a phone, why make it easy for him? You know, why it's a vulnerability, you know. I said, well, what do you got coming in there? Well, you know, things like this right here, notes from the listeners. You know, I mean, nothing nefarious, but we're at this point where if you think that if they decide to hassle you, you're innocent until proven guilt, that's not the way it works. That's not reality. That's what that's the fantasy they sold us our whole lives, but that's not. It's not the reality. It's that what they told us is fake. The reality is you're guilty and you have to figure out a way to prove your innocence. And then even then, if they can figure out a way to jack you up, they will. This is the direction. It's not going to get better, folks. Understand that. One of the most dangerous things you can do is deny reality. Especially when reality is spiraling towards a very dark place. I was driving through town yesterday, and I saw three helicopters flying in formation. They were obviously Zogcopters. What are those? They're Zogcopters. And it just dawned on me, you know, it's the point of view, it's the perspective, is really ultimately looking up at these helicopters flying across the town there in formation. You know, how is this any different than any other person living in an occupied country watching these occupation helicopters fly over, you know? I mean, you know, I hadn't got to that point. Yeah, obviously they're not dropping bombs on us or machine gunning us out the doors. Yeah. Hope it doesn't get to that point. But look at the direction. I mean, things are not getting better. The government has not found a newfound respect for the Constitution nor rights. If anything, things are going in the other direction. Being in denial of the reality is not a good place to be. People that do that generally don't fare very well in times of crises. And we are in a time of crisis. The law has no standing. The law is, what I mean by that, let me rephrase that because that's not correct. The laws are selectively enforced. Again, going back to this guy who's arrested by the feds, he gets pulled over later. They tell him he can go. They're mad, but they tell him he can go. And then several weeks later, he gets pulled over, only it isn't the local cops. It's the FBI, and they arrest him. And all I could think of when I'm watching this story and reading about this story is, yeah. Meanwhile, the guys, all these rich guys on the Epstein files, not a single one. They redact their names because it could tarnish their image if they were known to be in the files. That's the reality of law in the West today. And I say the collective West. This is the U.S. specifically that I'm talking about here. But come on, Germany's trying to figure out a way to outlaw the AfD some way, somehow, because they may actually win to the point that they can't even rig the election to where they don't win. I don't know. The point is, there is no respect for a standard of law, as far as applied in any sort of just or fair manner anymore. Those days are gone. And again, there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the reality. But you can understand the reality and act accordingly, structure your life accordingly. Now, continuing on talking about many things being fake. I was watching a little clip of an interview. Because talking about the police state and all of that craziness. And these flock cameras. Everybody knows about these flock cameras. They're everywhere. I drive around. Once you see them, you see them, I remember when the first time I saw them on these poles. I'm like, what the hell are those cameras for? And I thought maybe the state was doing like some kind of traffic study to decide whether or not they need to widen the highway or something. Pro tip, you do. Might need to widen the third world roads. They don't maintain the roads we have, by the way. They're like driving in Somalia half the time, but they might widen them or something. That's what I thought. And then, of course, we find out they're these flock cameras. Find out what that's all about. But I was watching, they were showing a little clip where they were interviewing the CEO of Flock, the billionaire tech CEO of Flock. everything presented to us in this so-called society is fake. I mean, it just amazes me how fraudulent everything is. Everything is a lie. I so often point out, that we live in a satanic system. We live under a satanic system structured, in a satanic manner. And I mean that quite literally, not some hyperbole, always acting like those evangelical lunatics. No, I mean that literally, because everything is a lie and we are demanded to go along with the lies. That is the core fundamental demand of this so-called society. The underlying, the bedrock, the foundation is you will go along with the lie. You will not argue with the lie. You will not deny the lie. You will go along with it. And everything is a lie. They interviewed this guy, this CEO, tech billionaire. This guy's a billionaire, supposedly. And I'm looking at this guy. At most, he's 30. And that may be pushing it. This is a young guy. From my perspective, he's a young guy. wearing his t-shirt. They all wear t-shirts because it's kind of like a skin suit. It was kind of like when election years come around and politicians all show up in Iowa and wear a flannel shirt and blue jeans for the first time. You know? And you can tell, like, they think we all so stupid that we don't know that they ain't ever wore no pair of blue jeans and a flannel shirt in their life, standing up there on a bale of hay. Let me tell you how I'm just like you little peon people. You know, like we fool. These tech, quote unquote, tech billionaire guys, CEO guys, they all wear a t-shirt because they're like, you know, I'm so rich, I can dress casual, you know? A few decades ago, a rich guy and a CEO, anytime he was being interviewed, he'd have a suit and tie, see? But they want to make these guys seem like, you know, they're closer to you or something, to being like actual humans. You know, no, but I mean, they all do that, you know? Anyway, so they're interviewing this billionaire tech CEO who looks very young, wearing his t-shirt. And I think about, again, the lie, and you're supposed to accept the lie without thought. And sometimes it's easy to miss the lie. You take the narrative, you know, you think you see through it, but you don't, until you step back, you don't realize, hey, you're still buying into some of the lie. You know, you may be against flock cameras. Hell, everybody is. Never mind the fact that they still seem to be going up everywhere. Funny, isn't that? It's like the data centers. Everybody shows up and protests and tells the politicians, we do not want this. And under our democracy, you get it anyway, good and hard. Same with the flock cameras. Now, let's talk about the fakery of this CEO, flock CEO guy. Why I say this fake. This is part of the fakery. Let's be generous and say the guy's 30 years old. He doesn't look 30, but we'll be generous and say the guy's 30 years old. The billionaire CEO, tech bro CEO, because see, that's just another word magic. You see the spells they use, marketing terms. You notice we all find ourselves using the term, or you see the term and you hear people use the term, the tech bros, these tech bros. Where did this term come from? And why is everybody using it all at once? It's marketing. It's a word spell. It makes you get an image in your head. This guy looks, to be generous, 30 years old, and he's a billionaire. Now, let's think about that. Because you're supposed to have this idea that he's a great entrepreneur. That's why he's rich. What is the whole message of this society? Well, he's rich and you're not. He's got to be smarter than you, right? I'll just take this is my opinion. He's an actor. All these assholes are actors. What do you base that on, Dan? Well, let me tell you what I base that on. Let's say flock cameras don't exist. Erase that. They don't exist now. And you, dear listener, you get this idea. You know what? If I could produce these cameras and put them up all over on public property, in other words, government property, public, you know, that doesn't mean you have a right to it. It means the government owns it. So I could build these cameras and look, I could put these cameras up and then like sell access to the cameras to these police departments. But more importantly, I could harvest all of this data and sell it and make a ton of money. All I got to do is build all these cameras. Well, I've got to develop the cameras, then manufacture the cameras, and then go down and sell the cameras, you know, to all these municipalities all across the world, from small towns to big cities. That's all I got to do, and I'll be rich. I'll be a bro. I'd be a tech bro. Well, it wouldn't be me, because I'm too old to be a tech bro. I wouldn't be asked to. I would never get that. Don't show up to the audition for this acting job. So you, you can't. You know, first off, you're going to need money to develop the cameras, right? Where are you going to get that money from? Okay, well, let's back up. Let's just say you are super smart. So you go ahead and develop and you make some prototype cameras. You got to start from somewhere, you know? A groundbreaking entrepreneur has got to start from somewhere. So you work in your garage in your spare time and you build a flock camera and you figure out how to put together, and you put together a dozen of these things. Good deal. They work. You've tried them out. You put them up in your yard. You tried them out. You figure you got to start from somewhere, right? So you go down to your city council. And you tell, sit down with the mayor. You get an appointment with the mayor. Miraculously, you get in, I guess. Or you go to the city council. And you pitch your idea. What do you think is going to happen? Just play that scenario out in your mind. What do you think is going to happen? Like, who the hell are you? And you're wanting to put cameras up on light poles and all over up on the roads and, you know, spy on people's cars, read people's license plates, and then you're going to charge us after we let you put this shit up on our property for free. You're going to charge us to get access to it, and this is equals stops crime somehow. You, Mr. Nobody, local. They're gonna laugh you out of the mayor's office or the city council chambers. Yet this guy who's not old, who's barely old enough to shave, looking at him, has managed to do that at scale nationwide because he's a no. No. You see, at some point, their study, I'm sure their studies and their research shows at some point there's a tipping point when literally everything is what, BlackRock and Vanguard. And so they have to put actors out there to be interviewed. You know, if the flock cameras just openly, these are owned by this super rich hedge fund, you know, asset managing outfit that owns your houses, all the houses and everything else or whatever, you know, at some point, you know, that starts to cause problems, be hard to manage. So they need front men. So they create these stories about the tech bros. This guy who in his t-shirt that he's a billionaire because he just miraculously was able to build all of these, you know, all of these expensive cameras, get all of these contracts, get all these agreements. Let's be honest, pay off enough local politicians to let him put them up and for free on all of these government-owned property, and now he's rich. Just happened like that. It's the American dream, bro. Does that sound realistic? Or does it sound more like, oh, this is probably a Vanguard BlackRock type of outfit. They came up with this, bought off all the right politicians, slapped these things up, and were up and running in no time at all. What sounds more realistic? This guy's an actor. All these guys are an actor. Look at the way they market them. I've talked about my impressions, personal opinions. You know, I've talked before, you know, about, you know, my take on Elon Musk, for instance. They have marketed him as what? A super genius. Why do you think the cars are called Tesla? Because you're supposed to make that connect. Again, this is programming. Word spells. You're supposed to make that connection. Nikola Tesla, he was a super genius. And he was. You're supposed to make that connection, and you think Elon Musk is the super crazy genius. And he's an actor. In my opinion, I mean, you listen to the guy being interviewed, and he's you know, in my opinion, I think he's kind of on, he's on the autistic scale for sure. But I don't, there's nothing I've ever seen him say in an interview that sounds particularly smart. You know, I mean, he's playing a role, and you know, he's supposed to play the crazy genius of our modern times role. But he doesn't really ever say. He's obviously remembering, to me, he's obviously remembering a script. And, you know, this is what, you know, the message I'm putting out in this interview. There's nothing there that makes you go, wow, it's crazy. This guy's so smart. It'd be interesting if you cornered the guy up and said, hey, this is why they never allow you around these guys, by the way. But you know, be like, hey, man, my Tesla, I own a Tesla. And, you know, it's making this weird noise. And sometimes at this certain speed, it does this weird thing. Do you have any idea? He wouldn't have a clue, okay? He wouldn't have a clue because he's an actor. He's an actor. All these guys are actors playing a role. It's all a base. All of the stuff, they're lies. It's satanic. The devil is the father of, he's a murderer and a father, the father of lies. You know, that's what Jesus said. He's a liar. When he lies, he speaks his native language. So when you live under a system in a society where freaking everything is based on a lie, you by definition live in a satanic society under a satanic system. Tell me, what part of our system is based on truth? You know, it's not a mixed bag here. Elections, fake and gay. Tech billionaires, fake. Probably gay. I don't know. Media stories, fake. Headlines, fake. What they tell us they're doing and why they're doing, fake. They're all lies. Where's the truth? Tell me something true the government or politician has said in recent memory. It's by definition satanic. Now, it's talking about, you know, these people don't like the flock cameras. They go to the city council and you get flock cameras. You know? Here a while back, they're everywhere. You go through small towns and them some bitches are up. They got them in my town. And sometime back, I mean, it's been like 8 months probably. There was a deal. They said, oh, well, they told them they're making them take the flock cameras down. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, good. Don't need them damn things. Nobody wants them. And I drive around them. They're still up. Just told everybody they're taking them down. I still see them. I'm still up. Imagine having a business and your business model is the government lets you use their property for free so that you can then turn around, sell the whatever data you collect. And if they want access to it, you charge them for that too. And them going for it because this is a brilliant idea. And you still see shills out there like, you know, oh, no, they're trying to keep us safe, man. Don't you want them to? This is about safety. If you haven't done anything wrong, what are you treating? You don't have anything to hide, right? At least I hope those are shills. Because if they are goyim on the level of livestock thinking than that, livestock mentality than that, then, you know, there's no hope. But anyway. You know, talking about people don't want this and they get it anyway. We're seeing this with these data centers. They're building these damn things everywhere. And nobody wants them. People crowd in. They're passionate. They're yelling at their quote unquote representatives. And they do it anyway. Even on the local level. You know, we're not talking about you're going to go and, you know, Senator Shitbag up here who's taking a pocket full of money, you know, of course, he's not going to listen to you. But you go down here and you protest to your local county, your local whatever, city council. Don't give a shit. They'll sit there and let you ramble on and then whatever. And then when the meeting's done, they vote. And guess who always wins? The tech bro there in his T-shirt. No. The actor. No, you get a data center. But I was thinking about these data centers, and this is also a classic move of creating the problem. You know, one of the complaints on these data centers is, you know, you're all familiar, I'm sure, you know, they use a bunch of electricity for starters. You know, they build these things and they're like, oh, they use like 10 times more electricity than the grid can handle. But it'll work out. Just build it anyway. It'll be okay. But the other thing is, and the thing I wanted to focus on for this discussion, is they use a bunch of water. You know, like, that basically pump the aquifer, pump the river dry levels of water. And this is where you see the end around. And let me explain how that is. Because a lot of things, one of the counters when people are showing up and protesting at these data centers is the government says, man, there's just nothing we can do. it was just powerless because, you know, you have these rights and shit. What do you expect us to do? What's that bag full of money behind here? It's nothing, man. The government can do anything to you they want. Most ridiculous, just outlandish bullshit. They told everybody they had to wear a t-shirt over their face to stop a deadly doom virus. They can pretty much do anything, but then you go up there and they're like, man, we'd like to stop the data center from coming in, but man, what can we do? Our hands are tied because you people have all these freaking rights that you think you gotta have. In Texas, we pride ourselves on having a certain amount of freedom. It's becoming more and more illusionary, but we pride ourselves on having a certain amount of freedom. For instance, if you don't live in the city, because if you live in the city limits, you know, then you get into, you know, your private property isn't really your private property type of thing. But for the most part, if you live in the county in Texas, you buy some land. You go out here and say you buy 20 acres. The amount you buy doesn't really matter. But you buy, just to throw a number out there, you go out and you buy 20 acres of land. And you say there's already a house on it. And you want to build a garage yourself. As long as you're not in the city limits, build your damn garage. You know, you're in the county. You're basically free. It's your property. You drill a water well. And this is where I want to bear down on. You drill a water well. That is your water. You own it. The state of Texas has been wanting to get their hands on that water. More specifically, they want to take ownership of that water. View it in this way. You have deer season. This is going to make sense. Bear with me. You have deer season when you can go hunt a deer in, you know, certain time of the year here. It's kind of a big deal for some people. I don't get nothing out of it. I've done it before and I didn't get nothing out of it, but it's whatever. You're allowed to go hunt deer and you go buy these tags, you know, you get your hunting license and you can go shoot X amount of deer, but only during this block of time. Now, let's say it's not in the block of time. You're driving down the road and you hit a deer and the deer flies over into the shoulder of the road and you get out and the deer is suffering. It's all jacked up, broken bones, but it's not dead yet. And you're not allowed to shoot it because it's not in the block of time. Now, all of this is based around the legal argument. The word spell is those deer belong to the state. The state, the deer, you think the deer's out there running around free. Ain't nobody own them deer. But actually, technically, by their reasoning, the state owns the deer. Yet the state's not liable, by the way, for the damage to your car. They make it make sense, right? But anyway, the state owns the deer. All the deer out here running around, the state owns all of them. That's what they want to do with the water. They want to own. I remember reading articles, God, it's probably been 20 plus years ago, that the state was wanting to devise a plan where they basically put water meters on your personal water well. So they could, they were doing it in the name of, I don't know, whatever excuse. It doesn't matter because it's all a lie. They were doing, wanting to do it on the, I think it was because, you know, the climate change or something, and people are going to use up all the water, you know, with their house, watering their yard. You're going to use up all the water watering your yard. What's that? A giant data center that uses a kajillion gallons of water? Bring it in. But no, I was reading the deal years ago. I can say it's probably 25, 30 years ago. And the state was then talking about trying to devise a way to take ownership of that water. Because they wanted to put a water meter on people's water wells. It didn't get anywhere because at that time people had a little more spine than they have now. But they, even back then, they were wanting, in other words, they're wanting to take ownership of that water. What does all this matter? What does that have to do with data centers? Because the argument the state's using now is there's nothing we can do about these data centers. For starters, they came in, the data center people bought the land. You're not some kind of communist, are you? You respect private property, right? Well, that's their private property. They bought the land. Here's the next argument. You don't want them using all this water? Well, they bought the land. They have a right to drill wells on it and use all the water they want to, if only. I mean, if you want something done about these data centers, about the only thing we could do, you know, as far as regulating how much water they can use, that would require the state stepping in and having a say-so on, you know, these water wells, on privately owned water wells, right? You see what they do? See the argument they make? Now, we all know, we're all jaded, i.e. experienced, enough to know that if they get their way, the data center is still going to get anything they want, because this is what capitalism wants. This is what the money wants. But your ass going to have a water meter on your well, and they're going to be telling you, oh, you're using too much water. You got to quit watering your grass, man. We need that water for the data center. Land of the free, bro. You don't like the data centers coming in? It's in the county, man. There's nothing we can do. I guess we don't really want to. But, I mean, I guess we could change the laws to where now the state regulates what can and cannot be built, you know, out in the county. You have to get permission from the government if you want to build a carport or a garage or maybe a new deck on your house. And, you know, up to this point, you're just free to do that because you're in the county and you don't have to pay us off and get permission slip from us. But, you know, if you want us to do anything about it, the only way we can stop these days is because you have these pesky rights. The only way we can step in and stop it is if, you know, we have the authority to do that. If we only had the authority, maybe we could do something. And then, of course, you surrender the authority. They still let the data center do whatever the hell they want. But now all of a sudden you need a permission slip to build a deck on your property in the county. See how it works. How many times do we have to see how it works? The goyim fall for it every time. Satanic, based on a lie, inverted, whatever you want to say, you know, this is the reality of what we live in. But hey, Jesus wins in the end, right? I see people say that. They're posted in comments. You watch a video on some topic like whatever, and people say, hey, don't, you know, well-meaning people, I'm not ridiculing people here, but I'm trying to use this as a jumping point to expand on something. Jesus wins in the end. You'll hear Christian people say that. Jesus wins in the end. Jesus has already won. We know, you know, Satan's cast into the temporal realm. As soon as the devil and the angels that rebelled with him were basically boxed in for the moment in the temporal realm, he'd already lost that game. He's not got the advantage of being outside of time like God is, like the Lord is. As soon as he got pushed into the temporal realm, he lost. That's why it's written that he's, you know, he sees that he's been cast to the earth, and, you know, he's filled with rage. Because basically it's like losing a war, and you know the war is over, but like it's not over. You know, it's over, but you're still got room for it to play out. You know, I mean, it's the war's lost, but the Presidente won't accept it, you know? And that's what you have. You know, Satan lost as soon as he was pushed into the temporal realm. He's enraged over that. And basically now he's just killing as many people as he can, slaughtering as many people as he can on the way out because he's in time. So time is short. And we haven't been in the realm outside of time. This is going to be a brand new thing. When we leave this world, you know, it's going to be a new thing. Our lives, depending on how old you are, seem like, you know, we got a long time to live. If you're 20 years old, your whole life is ahead of you. And so it seems like, you know, you got a long time. You tell the 20-year-old that this happened 30 years ago, that's ancient history. You talk about 20, 30 years ago to someone my age, and it's like, God, that was like yesterday. So it's all on your perspective. And for Satan, he was outside of time. Unlike us, he was outside of time. And now all of a sudden, he's shoved into the temporal realm. And he knows his time is short. 1,000 years is short when you came from the perspective of time being a construct that has nothing to do with you. All of a sudden, you're shoved onto the earth, and you've got that perspective. And he just, you know, a lot of what he does, I think, is just slaughtering his mean people. People fail to have truly grasp or have an understanding, I think, or even a, you know, a slight grasp of the concept of how much Satan and those angels that followed him into rebellion truly hate humanity on a visceral level. God created man and says, you know, the ones that make it through this process are going to be given authority. And some, you know, these angels, you angels are going to, you know, the ones that have authority, you angels are going to have to do what they say. And Satan and the angels that agree to with him are like, yeah, I don't think so. These guys, they have a visceral hatred of mankind. That's why whenever I see these stupid LARPing Satanists, you know, they're like, worship the devil, because they're like, you know, this is going to be, give me a position. See, I'm a devil worshiper, a devilist. I like that. We should use that term. The devil's a good guy. I worship the devil. And he's going to, because I'm a devil worshiper, he's going to give me a position. You know, yeah, I'm going to go to hell. But I mean, it ain't going to be bad, because I'm going to have a position. No, you're not. He hates your guts. Even these people who do his work, spreading destruction, death, murder, lying, deceit, you know, all sorts of degeneracy, corruption of people's soul, all of these people who took the ticket and do his work, you know what kind of position Satan's going to give them? Nothing. He hates you. We know as Christian believers, he hates us. He hates everybody. He hates Christian believers, yes, for sure. But understand, the people out here wandering around just spiritually lost, they're just going through wasting time and living their lives in a pointless manner. You know, he hates them too. The t-shirt guys that take the ticket, he hates them. The pornographers, the politicians, the ones that do his work and spread death, degeneracy, destruction, godlessness, the false teachers, the false preachers that lead the congregation to hell while telling them this is the truth, he still hates them. This is what I was saying last week. I don't know. Recently, you know, I was talking about these other entities that exist. And when somebody is possessed and people say he's possessed by a demon, and people think that means the angels that followed Satan. And the angels that followed Satan Into rebellion, hate your guts. They do. They hate your guts. The last thing they're going to do is come inside of you and like move your body around. They don't want to touch you. They don't want anything to do with you. I'll be honest. I don't think even the angels, and I want to be careful here, but this is my impression from reading the Bible. Even the angels that didn't follow Satan into rebellion, the ones that serve the Lord, they're obedient to the Lord. But I don't think they particularly necessarily like us either. You know, I mean, whenever you read of, you know, actual interactions, you know, between men and angels in the Bible, you know, you know, most of the time the angels don't really seem thrilled to be dealing with men, do they? You know, Peter's escape from prison. That's one of my favorite examples where the angel shows up and kicks him to wake him up. You know, it's not a gentle shake. Hey, wake up, brother. Hey, it's me, the angel. Like these, you know, the way angels get portrayed, like in media, you know, with their little wings and their halos. And they're so sweet. Instead, you get what? An angel that kicks you to wake you up and says, get up, come on. Like you asking him questions and he won't answer. He's just like, come on, leading you out there. Like he's doing what he's got to do. He's obedient to the Lord. You know, it's like you might go to church as chicken and, you know, Letitia behind the counter, she might go on and sell you your 3-piece dark meat chicken that you ordered. But, you know, she what you want. Well, I want the three-piece chicken. You want fries with that? You ain't going to sit there and say, wow, Letitia really likes her job and she really likes me. No, she doing her job because, you know, that's what she's got to do. But it ain't because she loves you. You know, that's my impression. You know, I want to be careful. You always want to be careful talking about spiritual things and, you know, it's not something we should just tread on lightly, so as to speak. But, I mean, my impression when you read it, you know, whenever there's a biblical account of angels interacting with people, I don't get a warm fuzzy here. Yeah, I mean, they're being obedient and they're doing what they were sent to do. But that's it. I mean, you know, they're not here to give you a warm hug. There's nothing like, you know, pop culture depictions of angels. I remember years ago, decades ago, angels were really popular. Like there was a phase back in the 90s, probably before some of y'all were born. And, you know, it was the thing, you know, all these women went out and collected little angels and they'd have all these angel collections and people were obsessed with angels. And they always same thing, you know, look like sweet looking little child with a blonde hair and a halo. Or they had TV shows with angels and the angels would show up, you know, and they're just so loving and they're just here to help you out. I don't know, man. I mean, like I say, the biblical accounts of any interactions men had with angels, you know, they're not necessarily something I think you would want to have. Anyway, getting back on topic, because I got way off. It happens literally every week. It happens. Jesus wins in the end. Jesus has already won. So then this begs the question, and people will ask this, what's he waiting for? You know, what's he waiting for? We look for the day of the Lord. What's he waiting on? We're cautioned in the Bible that the day of the Lord is a terrible day. We look towards it because we're told, you know, when that day comes, look up because our redemption is near. But it's also at the same time, it is a terrible day. Like, escaping a bear and you're running the house and a snake bites you in the hand or whatever. You know, the day of the Lord is a dreadful day. What is Jesus waiting on? I think this requires taking a minute to understand what it truly means. Because when Jesus returns, literally he's taking the lid off the box that we're in. Time will cease to exist in an instant. But what does that mean? In other words, to answer that question, what's Jesus waiting for? You know, because these evangelical lunatics act like they're trying to hurry him up. Now, as part of their twisted reasoning about supporting this abomination in the Middle East is, you know, they're trying, part of their reasoning is they're trying to hurry Jesus up because, you know, this is all this got to take place to make him hurry up and return. I keep warning that, you know, that may not go the way they think it's going to go. I suspect very much so it's not going to go the way they imagine. But what is he waiting for? Why didn't he hurry up? To answer that question, I think we really need to bear down and think for a moment about what that means. Again, we're told, Jesus told us that when he returns, it'll be like lightning across the sky. In other words, it will be everywhere at once. You're not going to be sitting in America and be told, guess what? Jesus just appeared in the sky over Saudi Arabia. It's on TV. That's not how it works. That's why Jesus said, when you hear, oh, he's out here in the desert. Oh, he's in the upper rooms. He's in the mountains. Come. He said, don't go. Don't listen to that shit. No, he didn't say that. I said that. I paraphrased that. Forgive me. But he said, don't listen to that. Basically, when I return, when the day of the Lord comes, don't worry, you're going to know. It's not going to be like an ambivalent question. We're not sure. Could it be Jesus? I don't know. Let's go hear what he has to say, and then we'll make up our mind. He's going to take the lid off the box. I picture the realm of time. This is just the way you can picture it any way you want to. I picture this earth, this world, the realm of time that we live in. I've said this before, my visualization, and I'm not saying it's literally like this. This is just so my brain can construct it in a manner to where I can think about it. I'm not saying it's literally this. This is the way I imagine it so that I can think of how all of this would work. I think of it as being in an aquarium, a glass aquarium. You know, it doesn't mean like a fish necessarily. It could be like you can have an aquarium with lizards in it, spiders, whatever. But I think of it as an aquarium. An aquarium got what? A lid on it. Now, if you're the fish, the spider, the lizard, whatever kind of aquarium you got, the creatures living in there, that's their whole world. They can't get out of it. They crawl up the side, but there's a lid on it. Now, those outside in the living room, you got people coming over, they looking in your aquarium. Them lizards don't even know you're looking at them. Because they're outside of the box. This is how I visualize it. Again, I'm not saying it's literally that way, but you have to try to create an illustration in your mind to be able to understand these things. And that's the illustration I create in my mind, that it's, you know, it's akin to, it's like being. You know, Jesus taught in parables. He wasn't saying literally we're throwing seeds on the ground. He was explaining it in a way to where you could visualize it and understand it. And that's what I'm do. That's what I do. You know, I picture an aquarium and we're in it. When Jesus returns, he's going to take the lid off of that aquarium. In other words, time will cease to exist when you look up because it's the lid is off. What's he waiting on? If time ceases to exist when he takes the lid off, when Jesus returns, he takes the lid off. In other words, time will cease to exist. That's why it's written that you're going to see the dead rise. It doesn't mean like zombies crawling out of their graves. It means you're just going to suddenly see people and be like, hey, that guy died 20 years ago. Because time doesn't exist. And if time doesn't exist, remember I was talking here a while back about, you know, sands in the hourglass, you know, imagining the time you're given in this life. is, you know, and when the sand runs out, you're out of time. You've wasted it or you spent it well or however. You give an account. There's no do-overs. When the Lord returns, this is, I'm finally going to answer the question, what's he waiting on? When the Lord returns, every sand and every hourglass for every human being will empty at the same time. In other words, you could liken the return to Jesus in that respect to a mass casualty event. Literally every human being on the planet dying at once. An extinction. If you think of it that way, maybe these people wouldn't be so anxious for Jesus to come back, would they? You know, time ceases to exist. You're going to see the dead. What if you dead too? In other words, every grain of sand, all the time you could have been allocated is now empty. Everybody, his time has run out. Sand is all out of their hourglasses at once because why? He's removed the lid. He removed time. That's why he's everywhere at once, because you're in two different places because what? It takes time to go from this place to that place. Time ceases to exist. You're everywhere at once because there's no time like we understand it. So you're talking, you could liken it to every human being on the face of the earth just dies at once, mass extinction. The day of the Lord is here. Now, just like when you die naturally, you know, your chances are over. As long as you're here on this world and you got some time, you know, you got a chance to start trying to learn and know and understand the Lord. But understand, when it's used up, it's used up. This is what you were given. This is what you spent. This is what you've got to show for it. And there are no do-overs. So quit, you know, I've had people say, you know, well, what if I don't get it right? I want a do-over. No, you better get it right now. What are you waiting on? Quit dicking around. Quit wasting your time. It's like they had a big fire here a while back, like at a nightclub or something, and all these people died in the fire. And come to find out, the fire was burning on the ceiling, and they're all standing around with their damn cell phones filming it for their TikTok or whatever the hell. Instead of going out the damn door, it was right there. The roof is on fire. Your time is running out. Maybe instead of navel gazing and thinking, well, maybe I can just get a do-over. No, you don't. Quit wasting your time. Everybody, when the day of the Lord comes, everybody's done. There's no do-overs. The people who are going to hell are going to hell. The people locked out of the kingdom of God are locked out of the kingdom of God. Mass casualty. However many people there are on the planet, because I say that because the number they put out there, 9 billion or whatever, they say, I don't believe that. I think they're full of shit. But you know, like everything else, they lie. But whatever number of people on the planet, are you ready to write every single person off that's left? Because you're ready. You know, I'm ready for Jesus to come back. Well, yeah, I am too. I hope to be. I appreciate a little more time to learn a little more and spend it wisely. But yeah, I mean, as twisted and you know, more twisted and more satanic the society we live in, yeah, I'm ready for the Lord to set things right. Okay, but what about these other guys? You know, I'm ready for the, you Christian believer. And it's like, I'm ready for the Lord to return. Okay. But what if the guy you work with or the guy across the street or somebody you don't even know on the other side of the planet, you know, you're speaking for what sand he has in his hourglass. You're speaking on behalf of what time he has left. And what if, I don't know, next year that guy would finally turn to the Lord and start dedicating his heart to the Lord and coming to learn and know and understand the Lord and walking the path to the kingdom of God. You're essentially saying, well, screw that guy. Let's end it now because I think I'm ready to go. Well, the Lord is giving that guy the opportunity. That's the holdup. That's what he's waiting for. But I understand he's not going to wait forever. The day will come. So what do? We spend our time getting ready like we're supposed to. This was God's plan from the beginning. Is why he created Adam. To give us this opportunity. Don't worry about everybody. Just knuckle down and worry and work on your spiritual. Because the worse the society becomes, you know, the environment that we're in becomes, you know, the more solid our faith has to be to weather it. You know, these are the times that try men's souls, as they say. You know, just we have to focus on, you know, our own being ready. The Lord will come. And when that day comes, it's going to be really bad for a lot of people. We don't have control over other people. We have control over ourselves. And we got to focus on ourselves and getting ready for the Lord and understanding that some people ain't there yet. And we can't just write them off. You know, because the Lord isn't just writing them off. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you got something out of the show. Appreciate you tuning in this week. Hope you enjoyed the discussion. I always enjoy having it with you. Hope you have a good rest of your week. And as always, I hope to see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.